Don't give me all the details I don't wanna know. Don't wanna know. What have they done to you now?
Alright, you are listening to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby, and I'm with one of my favorite people in the world, Emerson Dameron.
Hey.
Who I haven't seen in 11 months.
Is that name a reference to... What's that bitch's name? Miranda July.
Nope, that came movie. Up at the last one. No, that's you, me, and everybody, and everyone we know.
Okay, that's a big difference.
Huge difference to me, because I don't love that film.
I haven't seen it.
It's a film. It's very artsy in a good way.
Yeah.
It's not my cup of tea. No, this is a reference to a Blues Brothers thing.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Now it makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a Chicago thing.
And the whole basis of this podcast is a Chicago thing, too.
Cool.
Yes. Anyways.
I don't live here anymore.
You used to live here, and that's where I met you.
Now I can talk all the shit I want, and there's nothing you guys can do
about Chicago?
Yeah, you have to come out to California and if you want to kick my ass. It's going to be harder than it would have been before.
So what did you hate about Chicago?
I don't really hate anything about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think... You guys are idiots for living somewhere with weather like this. We have plenty of room in California. You chose to move here.
You're not from here.
No, I'm from North Carolina.
Yeah, and you chose to move to Chicago.
I did because I graduated from college and I sold my car and I needed to live somewhere with good mass transit and where I could crash somewhere. And my brother was living here.
So I lived
here for 5 years and all of my friends are still here and... I just don't. I have not had to wear a hat or gloves in about a year, and I always hated doing that, and I still
wearing the hat and the gloves?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't like it fucking up my hairstyle, and I don't like having my hands so I can't really do anything, and I don't like feeling like I'm on the moon from late September through... early May.
I love it. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
It's room temperature right now where I live.
It's currently the end of November.
Yeah. If anything, it's a little warmer than... it gets a little warmer all the time for some reason, but...
Have you been cold there once?
At night in the winter, yeah. It gets a little bit chilly.
So it's like a fall day here?
Right. It's like desert weather. People there bitch about it to high heaven when they... pull their cardigans around, but it's those people have no idea what they're talking about.
So you're glad you moved to LA?
Yeah, for the most part.
Why? Besides the weather?
The weather is good. If you have kind of a sick sense of humor, it's paradise.
And you do, apparently.
Yeah, people do kind of show off a lot, but the way I always look at it is they're doing that specifically for my entertainment. Like the guys with all kinds of metal through their noses who look like... I actually saw some pickup artists.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was getting a drink at...
some bar
someplace
or
in,
club.
In West Hollywood.
Okay.
And I was with a friend of mine who's female.
Okay.
And I went to the bathroom. And when I came back, these two dudes were out there talking to her. And apparently, as soon as I left, one of them came up and said, I need to get a female opinion on something. Is it... my friend wants to know if it's okay to break up with a girl by text message.
Okay.
And as soon as they saw me coming back, they left. So I totally fucked up their game and hers.
Did that ever happen in the bar that you used to work at?
I never saw tactics like that. I did see some naturals.
Yeah.
There were guys there that had massive game, but I didn't see... guys that got it from the VH1 show.
Was that the guy that was hitting on your girlfriend? Or not your girlfriend, your
friend? It was one of his disciples. I mean, it was somebody that was trying out techniques that they learned from that guy.
What's his name?
Mystery?
Mystery. That name has come up like 10 times in the past week.
Because it's hilarious.
It's apparently. It was on The Daily Show this week. Anyways, so now that you've moved to LA, it's warm, you actually drive, and you see Mystery everywhere you go.
Well, I drive sometimes when I can.
Yeah.
What happened right before I came out here was I had to get to LAX, and the easiest way to do that is to stash my car downtown and take the flyaway bus.
Okay.
So, this was about 4 in the morning, because my plane left at 7:30,
Jesus.
And you want to get to LAX with at least an hour and a half
okay.
before your plane starts to board. And I got up, you know, it was 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was driving down the mountain, and all of a sudden I heard this weird noise coming from under the hood.
Fun.
Like, and then the screeching, and then I saw smoke coming out from under the hood. So obviously I had to pull off the freeway. I didn't know where I was going, but where I was going was smack into the middle of an intersection.
Fun.
So the car broke down right in the middle of the road, essentially.
This is yesterday.
Yeah, this was yesterday morning.
Okay.
The engine was shot. I mean, I don't know exactly what happened to it, but the prospectus was not promising.
No, that's
the
not
good.
The
mechanics made weird faces when they looked under the hood.
So now your car is just stowed.
It's like when your doctor says, uh-oh. So my car is in the shop. I had to take a cab ride to LAX from Glendale, which cost $75.
Oh, Jesus.
And I knew I was going to miss the plane, but I had convinced myself that maybe I could still make it.
Yeah.
But you know how sometimes there's one moment where your illusions are ripped away?
Yes.
In this case, I was going to pay by credit card because I don't carry a lot of cash around if I can help it. And when I gave my credit card to the cab driver, he got out one of those big plastic things where and that's when I knew this is going to take 10 minutes and that plane is already gone. I'm fucked.
So you missed your plane?
I missed the first one, so I had to get on another one. They asked me if I wanted to do standby, but this week standby is going to get you nowhere.
Yeah.
So I paid another $75 to get on a flight straight to Chicago.
Oh my God.
So I didn't really lose any time, but because the time that I lost was the time that I lost plus the or minus the layover
I
would have had in San Francisco. So it wasn't, it was.
So you got here at the same time. It just cost you $150 more.
And it's probably going to cost me $2,000 to get my car out of the shop because it's dead.
What kind of car is it?
The engine is dead, so it's like the soul is gone.
What kind of car is it?
Last time I saw it was a 91 Corolla.
Burgundy. Just get a new car. It'd probably be cheaper than fixing the
engine.
You
would think. I mean, it might just be a slight bit more expensive. This is a damn good car, and I got it off Auto Trader under Blue Book. The guy that I bought it from was obviously desperate to get rid of it.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people are very desperate to get rid of cars right now. This is your time to buy.
Yeah, because you have to have one there.
In LA.
When you watch movies about that feature LA or have characters that live there, you notice the low point is always when the guy's car breaks down, because it's like having your balls cut off and your kneecaps broken and your life and your status there are stripped away from you. Or like the 40-year-old virgin where that you know the dude is a loser
because
he's riding
a bike.
Like that's how they establish the character. So I have to do something. Like if I can't get that car back, I will have to get another one, because you do kind of need to have one there.
Well, just get another one, man.
I'm going to weigh my options. I'm just going to do... Because, well, if I get... you can get a Japanese engine from a junkyard that only costs about $300 or $400.
But are you going to have to find the Japanese engine in the junkyard?
No, they're going to do it, but they're going to charge me for... anything they can think of.
God.
And God only knows what else is wrong with that piece of shit car.
You love it.
I was having problems with it. Well, it's like a baby.
Okay.
It's the most expensive thing in your life. Things are constantly going wrong with it. You can't get rid of it, but the whole time you're kind of asking yourself why you thought it was a good... This is what I think having a baby would be like.
So there's just one giant PSA to use protection.
Right.
Okay.
And don't live in, you know, unless you have to live somewhere with mass transit. I'm a huge believer in mass transit.
There's no mass transit in LA that you can take?
There is, but I don't have particularly good access to it.
Okay.
I mean, the good thing about where I live is it's right off two freeways. The bad thing about it is the train goes nowhere near there.
Got it.
There is mass transit there. It's just, obviously, no one's ever had to rely on it, so no one really uses it.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any money. The one thing about Los Angeles that people get wrong is only about 4% of the people, like 1 out of 40 people, less than that, work in the entertainment industry.
Okay.
Most of the people are black or brown and poor.
Okay.
And those people have to take the bus.
Yeah.
But the city is not really organized for the benefit of those people
yeah.
that do the actual work. So
someone that's not you is really dependent on something that doesn't work well.
Right. And when they have to cut funding for something, they cut funding for that, which they've done repeatedly.
Since you've been there?
No, just over the years.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't really been there that long, but...
Yeah, you've been there in 11 months. You moved in January.
Yeah.
Right? And it's been 11 months.
There's a book, if you want to learn about the history of Los Angeles, there's a book called City of Quartz.
City of Quartz?
City of Quartz. Yeah.
Q-U-A-R-T-Z
by okay. Mike Davis.
Why are you recommending that book?
It tells you it will explain the mystery of LA got to be the way it is.
Did you read that before or after you went there?
I've read it since I got there.
Yeah.
But it's required reading.
It helped?
It makes a little bit more sense.
Is there a required reading for Chicago?
A lot. I mean,
well, what?
You would know that better than
I do. I don't know. I'm from here, though. That's the thing. So I don't know.
I don't know if I had to recommend one thing.
Yeah, I don't think
there
is
one. The Wicked City is good. That's the history of crime in Chicago, where you can see how interlinked that has always been with the government.
Yeah. Speaking of crime in Chicago, we used to both live in Humboldt Park.
That's right.
Beautiful Humboldt Park.
I'm staying there right now.
It's an interesting place. Your apartment was on a safe block, and mine wasn't, but we lived 3 blocks away.
We did have the occasional crackhead breaking into our building.
Yeah.
There was one night when I woke up at 4 in the morning, and there was a guy who... I was on the first floor, and I don't know how he did it, but he got straight to the second floor.
Oh, weird.
Over the gate, somehow got... I mean, I guess at that point, he just had to go up the stairs, but he started banging on their door and trying to get let in, and eventually somehow got in.
Keep going.
The cops showed up a while later and asked him where he thought he was, and he said, 4,000 South something. He had no clue.
Okay.
So that happened. So, but if by safety, I mean, in the building I live in now, they don't even really lock the doors.
In L.A.?
Yeah.
Really?
It's in the Eagle Rock, Glendale area.
Okay.
And there's a little bit of gang activity, but they're running a business, and they don't want your attention.
Got it.
At all. So.
We're in Humboldt. No, in Humboldt, we had gang problems on our block, but they didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
We moved mainly because we kept getting woken up by dog fights.
Yeah, they did have a lot of
those. 2 doors down. We had dog fights. Our scooter got stolen.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I think you found out about this. It was found across the street.
No, I didn't. I don't remember this.
Yeah, it got stolen. They jumped our fence even though there was no lock, and you could just unlatch it.
Yeah.
And took the scooter and brought it and sold it to the guy across the street. And we found it. We didn't realize it was missing for 4 days because it was at the end of winter.
Yeah.
So this is in April. So
it's not something you're thinking
exactly,
about.
Exactly. It was locked up under the stairs. And we found it because the guy kept the same cover on it.
Yeah.
And then the cops didn't do anything. And the guy wanted to know if I was going to reimburse him for the money he spent buying our stolen scooter.
Possession is 9/10 of the law.
Exactly. So I got out of that neighborhood.
He didn't buy it at some point.
He did buy it. But yeah. I'm convinced that the guy he bought it from was the guy standing next to him.
That's possible.
So
you should maybe install cameras or something.
Yeah, not those would have been stolen.
Yeah,
though.
Not because it prevents crime, but just because that's the kind of crime I'd like to watch. if I'm gonna get ripped off like that, I at least want a tape to show my friends and maybe put some music over.
So that was my Chicago experience recently, and you moved, and now you're in LA. And what's the major difference between the LA and Chicago besides the weather and the driving? I mean, when you were here, you were temping. For the most part, and you were just out of college, but now you have a full time job.
Yeah,
you moved there for a job, correct?
Right.
Yeah,
and right around the time that I realized I could not take another winter here.
Oh, really?
I got an offer from the people I'd been moonlighting for a while, and it's a little bit hard to describe, but I guess the best way to say it is, I'm working for a guy who I knew in college who is now a music producer.
Okay.
And my job is basically helping him manage his brand.
Okay.
Like, most of the promotional copy and a lot of the tone for the conceptual stuff comes from me.
Okay, so give me an example of what that means. So I am a music producer, and I do what? I literally make music.
Right.
So I'm making music for somebody else, for another artist.
That's not really how he sees it.
Okay.
I mean, he sees it more as everything he does is a collaboration.
Okay, well, fine. I'm working with another person, and now the album or whatever is done. Now I give it to you? Or what happens? Like, how do you fit into this?
It goes through a lot of different people. Like, he has another guy that does all of the aesthetic stuff.
Okay.
Like, if you look at the album covers and the website, you'll see that it all has a pretty uniform...
So it's the same artist that does all that?
Yeah, and likewise, I am the same guy that comes up with the official explanations for things, which in a lot of cases are designed to make them more confusing.
Because, so like a press release or something, that's you.
Right. And we're both sort of nostalgic for the days when artists are a little bit more mysterious and more mythological. So a big part of my job is helping him create that for himself.
So you're trying to create a character out of nothing.
Right. Actually, lots and lots of characters.
Well, okay, so what is your day-to-day? Like, you wake up when? Let's go through a day, a normal day.
Well, I wake up at 9 o'clock just because I get depressed if I sleep all day.
Okay, that's good. It's healthy.
A lot of time I work from home because if I have a computer, then I can do most of what I need to do. I get asked to do stuff piecemeal. Like, right now, there's some really big shit going on. Over the summer, it was mostly day-to-day press releases, announcing concert dates. And
so you would wake up at 9. When would you start work?
Usually about 10.
At 10 o'clock.
I'll just make some coffee.
10 to what? How long do you work? What's your day like?
Well, when I work from home, I'm always at work.
Okay.
So occasionally, I'll just ration stuff out usually as it comes.
Okay.
Like, I'd like to get started at about 10, which is easy to do because we're on West Coast time.
Yeah.
So it's full of stuff that needs to be done
by
the time I wake up. And I like to wrap it up around 5 or 6 when I can, but sometimes I stay up really late.
So you'll be working at least 8 hours.
It depends.
But what do you do? Like, you're not filing reports. You're not doing inventory. You're not doing quality control.
I'm not schlepping garbage.
Exactly. You're not on the street. It's not a blue-collar job.
Right.
But it's not. It's far from the typical white-collar job, too.
Yeah.
So you're not selling anything.
Right.
Okay. You're kind of creating something, right? Yes, no?
Something intangible for the most
part. Because the way you described this to me, you said it was like working in Warhol's Dream Factory.
I'm an imagineer.
Like, yeah, what the fuck is that? I don't know what that means,
sometimes,
man.
I wonder myself.
Like, I
sometimes.
Know you're working. You're not just... Like, yes, you're making shit up, but the shit that you make up is being used.
Right.
So, but what is that? I mean, like, a painter paints. A musician makes music. An imagineer imagines what?
As far as tangible stuff that I've done, a lot of it's press releases and
but
ephemera. Stuff from the... I update the MySpace blog.
But is that what, like... Is that the majority of the day? Or
the
is this, like, 10% of your work?
Is more... talking to the other people that he works with about this stuff.
Okay, so
that we can kind of get ideas about how to present it and make it interesting.
Okay.
So I'm kind of a consultant, I guess.
I'm just
I warned you that I told you about this is going to make it more confusing.
That's fine. I figure, like, I should learn something from this. Like, okay.
Follow your dreams.
That's
what worked for me.
Well, no, that you weren't trying to do this like 3 years ago.
No.
Like, this kind of came out of the blue in a way.
Well, it's always... I mean, ever since I was a little kid, I had kind of a rich inner life.
Yeah.
Like, I have OCD, and my brain never stops working.
Okay.
So I end up with these whole networks of categorizing things and threads and characters in my head and symbols for things. And... basically, what I'm doing is applying that to what I do for a living, which, again, is a little bit hard to quantify.
Well, but it sounds great that you're actually getting to do something creative.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm totally spoiled for honest work.
That's good,
If this
right?
doesn't work out, I'll go sell sunglasses on Venice Beach, because fuck me if I ever work in advertising again after this.
Well, on the plus side, that wasn't your, like, goal.
No, not it kind of came up.
Yeah, you were trying... Well, I don't know if you're trying to be, but you were a writer.
Yeah, that's still what I put on my taxes.
Okay, so you started... What did you go to college for?
Journalism.
You went to school to be a journalist, or you just went and got a journalism degree?
I didn't know what I was doing. I needed a bachelor's degree, and I had it in my head that I wanted to be Hunter S. Thompson or okay. somebody like that. And what I discovered is that pretty much everything you learn in journalism school is obsolete by the time you graduate. And college in general is nothing you can't get with a library card and an internet account.
But at the same time, what you have now is because you went to college.
Because of the people I met.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like a country club.
But you but you couldn't have networked. You couldn't have just randomly met these X, Y, and Z people.
Oh, no. I mean, if I had just been hanging out in Athens, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I met this guy through the college radio station. So, yeah, that was all. The college takes its share of the credit for that.
Yeah. But anyways, you went to college to be a journalist, kind of.
That
and
was
then you
moved, in the back of my mind.
Yeah, and then you moved to Chicago soon after, and right. that's how I met you, is because you had just moved to Chicago.
Yeah.
Relatively, like within the first year you were here.
I met you through Alicia Dorr.
Is that how I met you?
Yeah, I was leaving her house or somebody's house, and you were coming in, and she said, here's Brandon Weatherby. He does, do you know Fowl? He
yeah.
does that, and you said, hey, we do stuff. I thought that I like this guy so far.
And that was like 5-6 years ago at this point.
Yeah, and then we did that show in Champaign, Urbana.
That was an awful show.
I beg to differ, my friend.
that
show
might
have been the best reading I ever did.
The show we're talking about is this band. It was in the independent...
The IMC.
The Independent Media Color.
Independent Media Center.
Yeah, okay.
God, that stunk of tax grants. I kind of wonder if it's still there.
It stunk, yeah, but it was tax grants, but it was also like dudes that never worked that talked about the revolution.
Well, six of one.
White dudes in dreadlocks.
It's a college town. That's where those guys go when they can't really... When the revolution is obviously not forthcoming.
And, this is the first and only reunion I've ever done with a live jazz band, but that wasn't really jazz. It was more space rock.
I don't really, it was kind of like Tangerine Dream a little bit, but
kinda,
without the
yeah.
synthesizers. Like, it was like just the add-ons to Tangerine Dream without the essence.
And,
so it was, I think, what were the, there was a guy with a keyboard.
There was a guy with a theremin.
There was like, yeah, and it was just like, bing, boom, bing, bing,
woo!
It didn't really have any structure.
No,
it was like
it
a
didn't.
Bunch of wind chimes.
And they just improvised over the readings we did.
Yeah.
And I don't think you liked me going into that reading, but by the time I'm on our way back, you liked me or something like that.
I mean, you just seemed like you were really on that day.
I was really something that day.
By the time it was over,
we were all
trying so hard to keep from laughing ourselves to death that everyone was wasted.
Yeah, there's really no other way around it. I
had tears coming out of my eyes. That was Brent Ritzel went up first and was doing his the Federal Reserve is a private corporation. And so you're listening to this, and meanwhile there's bing, boom, bing, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then he does the Bigfoot thing, which involves holding a tape recorder.
It's a copy of
alleged Bigfoot noises.
And he really believes it.
And meanwhile there's
But no,
this...
no, wait, he reads it off of a scroll too. You're forgetting
right.
that part.
That is essential to understanding what was so good about
it. So he's a fucking patriot, and he's reading about Bigfoot. And now, 7 years later, you're in L.A. in the music business. It makes total sense of how this happened from writer to...
It never would have happened if I hadn't been involved
in the zine scene
in Chicago. That's where it all started to crystallize.
Anyway, the only reason why I bring this up is because that of anyone from that scene... You have talent.
Oh, thanks.
You hands down my favorite living writer that I know.
Thank
and
you.
And I haven't read a lot of your pieces since you've moved to L.A.
I've been pretty busy. I mean,
yeah,
obviously a lot of the stuff doesn't really come out in a traditional way, but I also, I mean, if you want to read stuff that I've written lately, over the summer I blew off a lot of steam writing for the magazine Chunklet.
I see, I didn't even know that. It's not exactly...
A zine that sells a lot of ads and has a really good production.
Who cares? It's not even about that. It's like you used to have a blog, but you updated it like 4 times.
I just don't. I'm not good. You know,
and
I like
I'm not asking you to keep a blog. I'm just saying, like, where can people find your stuff?
You could get like the newest stuff, issue 20 of Chunklet Magazine, the book they put out called The Rock Bible. A lot of that stuff is me, which is kind of. The decline and fall of South by Southwest.
See, I've never been.
We knew the music industry was dying, so we tried to catalog every ridiculous thing about it in the short amount of time that it's still around.
So did you just document this year's fest or something?
it was mainly just an email chain where it was like, what drives you crazy about music?
Yeah.
And well, in different categories. Like there's the gospel of the singer, the gospel of the guitarist.
Got it. This sounds interesting.
It's a good little book. It's a good Christmas gift, everybody.
You went to South by Southwest for the radio station or no?
I went there in 2000 with the Alt Weekly in Athens, Georgia.
And you went to CMJ in 2001.
A couple of times. I went to CMJ in 99 and 01 with the college radio station.
Yeah, and weren't you there like on September? Didn't the fest start at like September 12th or something?
I was supposed to go out there on September 11th.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be on a train. One of the other kids that was going was scared of flying, so we were going to take Amtrak.
Yeah.
And I woke up that morning, had all my shit packed, realized something really weird is going on.
Yeah.
And, of course, by the time I got on the bus, they had on the radio broadcast of... And at first, I was reminded of... Do you remember that guy that tried to fly his plane into the White House?
Yeah, I do.
I thought it was another one of those.
Like a single engine, like small thing?
Right, and I assumed, you know, God, there's no way they could actually pull that off.
Yeah.
But it is going to be weird to be in New York while this is going on. You know, but it turned out they pushed it back, which I think CMJ is still in like October now.
Yeah, I went last year. I think it was in October.
Yeah, I think they permanently moved it back. None of the West Coast bands were there. It was like a ghost town. And in order to get to the Knitting Factory, you actually had to go around that weird crater.
Yeah.
At Ground Zero. This is a month after it happened. So that was the weirdest CMJ ever.
Yeah. The few times I've went... I think I've gone to like last year when all the bands I saw were from Chicago.
Yeah, there are a lot of those.
And like, because I don't care, I just want to hang out.
I went to see a lot of Athens bands because I was trying to find a place to crash.
That's what we did too.
That was my main goal.
I don't recommend doing that either.
No,
it's not awful.
It's like finding an apartment in New York. It's just fucking impossible.
It's easy to do in any other town, though. I'd have to say.
Yeah, easier than it is there.
Yeah, but we did it, and it was we stayed across the Hudson once, so we were in Jersey for one night.
Okay.
And then the next night,
Jersey City,
something like that. Yeah,
Jersey City is like another borough of New York.
Totally,
because it's the only place people can afford to live.
Yeah.
It's not the South Bronx.
And then the next night we were homeless because our friend said we could stay there, but then she said no at the last minute.
What do you mean by homeless?
We had to walk around the streets the whole night.
Oh, so you just stayed up all night?
We stayed up all night, but then we got delusional, and then we, rather than go down to the Today Show, we went to the Fox News in the morning show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we just hung out there.
That sounds kind of fun.
I think
it's fun to look
back. I think one of us was, like, air humping the window at Fox News. I don't remember who it was. I remember at one point somebody was smoking a cigarette, and it went in a bag, and it was on fire, but no one noticed for, like, 10 seconds.
Most of the really awesome shit I've done, I don't have any...
Yeah.
Any... recollection.
See, this was an awesome. This was awful. This was no. I wish there was a jazz band there narrating our lives at the point. That would have been much
that's
better.
Everyone should have one of those at all times. I recommend it.
So, is that in your 10-year plan? A jazz band?
Yeah, a little miniature jazz band like instead of a car stereo. Just have a little jazz band. I always wanted backup singers.
What would your backup song be?
I would have three women in slinky dresses follow me around, and if when I said something cool, they would all repeat it.
That's
in
cool.
Three-part harmony. That's the main part of the 10-year plan. Everything else is kind of dependent on that.
You'd only need a certain amount of money, and you could.
Yeah, getting
much
backup
get
singers in LA should be a cakewalk.
You could do that on Craigslist.
Everybody
for
there is
free.
Desperate for work.
We should set up a post right now for your backup.
Yeah,
singers.
If you're listening to this and you have talent.
In the LA area.
In Southern California.
So what is your 10-year plan? Do you see yourself doing the same thing that you're doing now in 10 years? Is it even viable? Do you care?
As far as that goes, I mean, I would love to keep doing it for as long as I can. I have a lot of other stuff going on. I've been doing stand-up.
Yeah, you've told me about this.
Which is not... Like, I don't expect to make a huge career out of that. And a lot of the people that do are... way more socially out of whack than I could ever hope to be, but there are also a lot of open mics around LA that are sort of like gyms for writers.
Okay.
Like you can go and just see if your new shit is any good based on how
that sounds both helpful and awful.
It can be kind of terrifying, but I'm also a connoisseur of bad comedy. I think watching comics bomb is one of the most fascinating.
So you're like a fan of Neil Hamburger's.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the thing that inspired that, definitely.
Okay.
Which is, people trying to find their way in a really tough medium, and kind of you can see it dawn on them that this is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. And a lot of times they'll freak out and start insulting the audience, but sometimes also a really cool part of their personality will come out of nowhere.
Have you insulted the audience yet or no? Well, I don't see you doing that unless it's part of the act.
The last show I did was at a dive bar out on San Fernando Road in Glendale, and they have a comedy night there on Tuesdays, which is my favorite thing to do anywhere in L.A. County because it's the worst room in the world. It's the comedians on one side of the room and these fucking Bukowski characters on the, these old dudes shaking, sliding dimes across the bar, and the bartenders heckle the comedians. my friend Benny Arthur was there at one point, and he said as he was getting up on stage, this dude came over to him and just gave him one piece of advice: don't be gay. That's all they expect. You can do whatever you want. Just don't. As long as you're not into ass fucking, it should be fine.
So is your comedy heavy on the ass fucking, or
there's no on stage ass fucking in my act.
Sounds boring.
But you have to be ready to take, if somebody starts fucking with you, you have to be ready to fuck with them back.
And I'm guessing you're very good at that.
Yeah, I'm good at doing that without really pissing people off.
That's very important.
That's the number one skill in stand-up comedy. Because things will go wrong in ways that you can't possibly anticipate. And I mean, admittedly, I intentionally get into those situations, but it looks so easy, and it's not easy at all.
Do you have set material you're going to go up with, or do you just wing it?
Yeah, a lot of I'll just kind of condense ideas that I've had into joke structure.
Okay.
And you don't want to go up and read off a script.
Yeah.
Because that's really painful to watch.
Is that what the Bukowskis do?
They don't. Occasionally they'll get up and tell street jokes, which is when it's where they get up and tell three hookers do this.
Oh, yeah.
Like jokes that they heard somewhere, baby float jokes or something. But why did Hitler commit suicide?
Why?
Got his gas bill.
Got it. Stuff. Zing.
Yeah, but those you don't in stand up the way it's done well. It's more you have to have your ideas a little bit prepared and synchronized, mm-hmm. but it has to look like you're just having a conversation.
Yeah,
and on some level, you have to be having a conversation with whoever that audience is.
Okay,
if you're at a place like this and you get up and start doing really intellectual shit, it's not gonna do well.
Yeah.
So in that one, the best thing to do if things aren't going well is to start cussing like your life depends on it.
And this works?
That has served me well on a couple of occasions.
Cussing like you're frustrated with yourself, or you're frustrated with the audience, or what? Like, just fuck, frustrated. Suck, or like...
No, well, not... Yeah, it doesn't have to have any anger behind it.
Oh, see, I don't understand how to separate the two.
Everything that's funny has to have some kind of anger behind it, but it doesn't... You don't have to try to deball the audience.
How often do you do stand-up now?
I do open mics about once a week.
So you've done, 40 dates since you've been out there, then?
Yeah, not as much as... the guys out there that are trying to be pro comics generally do something every night.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
Did you ever want to do a show here?
I thought about it.
Yeah?
This week, I'm just chilling.
Oh, no.
I mean, if I ever come back and spend any time here, I'll probably find something to do just to feed the addiction.
Did you always want to do stand-up?
Yeah, in the back of my mind. I always... It was one of those things... I always wanted to be a rock star also, but
well, had a band.
I've had a couple of bands in my life, but it was not, I always thought, well, I don't necessarily have to make a career out of this, but in Los Angeles, there's so many other people doing stand-up comedy just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
I did improv for a while when I was in Chicago, and it seemed like it was a little bit like that, but I'm also a creative control freak.
Got it.
So it was nice to be able to get up and only be responsible for myself.
Is it the hardest art form you've ever dealt with?
Yeah, definitely. It's like you're the director, the actor, the choreographer, the writer, everything.
So what's the goal for the stand-up? Just to keep doing it and have fun?
To keep doing it, have fun, make friends.
Have you made friends through this?
Yeah, I have a couple of friends that I made specifically through doing
Is when you first went and tried it, when was it? January or February or what?
When I first got out there, it was in February. I went to that show. Going to that Tuesday night show is what made me want to do it.
Okay.
So I went to that a few times, and then I started doing the occasional open mic over the summer.
Yeah.
It didn't get to be a regular hobby until fairly recently because I realized that my writing was getting a lot funnier because of it.
Is that good or bad?
For me, it's definitely good.
Yeah, what's going on with the writing then, too? So you're going to keep working on short pieces for magazines, the book?
Yeah, what else am I doing right now? A lot of it's just writing stuff for friends.
Yeah.
Like, occasionally I'll still have stuff on the second hand.
Yeah.
The Todd Dills website.
Who also moved.
Yeah, he was in Alabama now. Do you know if he still writes for that trucking magazine?
Not a clue. Not a clue.
That seemed like a perfect job.
It does. I know the secondhand still has a released party every time they put one out in Chicago.
That was actually, no shit, the best show that I ever did was the secondhand mixtape show.
Was that the one at Quimby's?
No, that was the one at Ronnie's.
Yeah, I didn't go to that.
Oh, it was so
good. I heard
good.
It was great.
It was really good.
Well, damn.
The concept was you have to write a 5-minute cover version of a song.
Yeah. What'd you do?
The Beautiful Ones by Prince.
Okay.
Which is on... Do you know what Vocalo is?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Vocalo, it's... I think they have an actual radio signal.
Vocalo is the station... it's essentially NPR for hipsters.
Okay.
It's It just started out about, a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yeah,
and
I remember it doing it last July.
Yeah, the website is up. I don't know where you can hear it, though, but if you just go to just search Vocalo, you'll find it.
It's like Northwest Indiana.
Is it? Did they? Yeah.
They're using some signal that is something else.
I know it's produced at a Wicker Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did my thing in the This American Life studio, which is kind of
fun. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, for some reason,
that's
they
cool.
just happened to be crashing.
Was it the Terry J, and maybe Mary, whatever?
I didn't see any of those people, but if you go to vocalo.org, some of my shit is still up there.
Cool.
Including some stuff I did that Brandon was involved with, like the
what are you
part
about?
One, the for some reason the file is dead, but they have about half of the reading that I did at that Dulcinea gallery space.
Oh, that's actually, if you want to read Emerson's piece about growing up and loving the Nazi flag.
Yeah, that's on Vocalo also.
Oh, is it
and
really?
I think there's I the full that. Version is somewhere else.
The full version of that, if you go to if you get the Fall of Autumn podcast, they don't have any new ones, but if you search Emerson's name, you can still get that.
That's the extended remix.
That is the best reading I've ever heard you
do. Oh, thanks.
That people couldn't shut the fuck up. That's how good it was, in a good way.
So yeah, check that out. Fallofautumn.com.
Yeah, let's promote more of that.
Yeah,
more of Aaron.
That's a worthy cause.
You got to come back more often.
Yeah, well, you should come visit
LA.
Me.
I can't afford to come to LA.
I don't know. I mean, it's you asked me a while ago what's different about it.
Yeah,
I was thinking about it, and I think the differences, what minor differences there are, stand out in starker relief because things are pretty standardized in America.
Yeah.
I grew up in the South, and generally when I mention that, someone will say, well, so it's all a bunch of inbred, drooling troglodytes dragging bitches around by their hair, and that's not the mainstream. I mean, everything I remember in the South is pretty much like everywhere else.
Yeah, completely.
I mean, they have crazy Christians, and California is full of, obviously, after the Prop 8 controversy, everyone knows that.
There's crazy people everywhere.
And, you know, there were extremely left-wing people all over North Carolina and punks and everybody else.
No, when I said the difference is I can't literally afford a ticket.
But what I'm saying is
standard
a lot of the differences
is the
are because of logistics.
Yeah.
Like, I don't drink as much anymore because I have to drive everywhere and it's fucking expensive. Like, if you see a margarita for $8 in L.A., buy it because that motherfucker's cheap.
What about the bar, the diver you stand up? What's the average?
Oh, that one, they usually have a monthly special, so...
But, like, what's that, five?
$5 for a well drink, usually.
That's shit.
It's a little expensive, but I think that's good because I don't want to get drunk in L.A. because I don't want to drive drunk
ever.
That's
great, but at the same time, you came from a bar where it was dirt cheap.
Well, yeah.
And you work there.
Right, so we didn't really pay anything. No. And we had to take the bus home, which could be... Oh, we got the worst that could happen is 4 in the morning is you would be a little bit scared to ride the bus being that wasted.
It was wonderful.
But also, you're not really scared of anything because you're swimming in alcohol.
And that's the... okay, that is the Chicago way, then.
Right. And you notice the people from Chicago that are out there tend to... A lot of them are keeping that up.
Oh,
it's
really?
It's not working that well for them. there are a couple of... I mean, there are a lot of actors and comedians there from Chicago because, obviously, if you don't want to work in advertising, it's the place you got to go.
Yeah.
And the ones that are still keeping up the... lifestyle that results from having a bunch of bars within walking distance and really good mass transit, not looking so good. Generally in a lot of debt, you know, never that far from being jail.
You gotta live with a flask, that's all I'm saying.
Well,
a flask and a good friend that drives a cab.
I'm a much cheaper date now.
Yeah.
If I get drunk, I'll do it at home when I need to write something.
Oh, yeah.
Just to get things flowing. So I think of it as an investment.
Exactly.
That's why we're writers.
Right.
Yeah. This shot of Wild Turkey, if I'm drinking at home, only, you know, if I factor it out, it costs me
75 cents about.
Yeah, if that.
Yeah.
I might, you know, I'm getting $50 for this article, so it's a good investment.
There you go. That is a great investment.
Right. But it also goes a lot further now because I don't get drunk all the time.
Yeah.
Because I can't because I have to drive it.
Well, you're also happier out there. You seem happier. You look younger.
I've been marinating in sunshine for a year.
Weird.
Like I said, I haven't. It's never really cold. Yeah. Occasionally, half the state almost burns up, but no one seems to think it's that big a deal. You have to be, you know, you don't want to get skin cancer or anything, but it is. It's a more active life also because you're not... If you live in Chicago, you're hibernating for half the year.
Yeah.
You know, if you haven't seen someone in 6 months here, it's not that big a deal because no one leaves the house.
Yeah.
From, I don't know if you remember at the... My favorite time to work at the Brain was like late September, early October because it was mating season.
Because winter's fucking
cold. Chicks in particular were fucking desperate to tag some dude...
Yeah.
So that they wouldn't have to spend the winter alone or going out by themselves in the middle of February with like their skirts on.
And then New Year's Eve is the last hurrah of that.
Right.
Like if you don't have a girlfriend by then, you're not getting a girlfriend until April.
And you're doing something wrong.
Yes.
Like chicks are pimping
from
about September through about New Year's Eve.
I'd agree with that.
Like, they'll tear your balls off.
You know what though? It's changing now with the smoking ban.
The smoking ban's made things kind of weird, I guess.
Yeah, it's good and bad. Cause there's
we don't care. Obviously, you've had it for 10 years.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But I think it's helping in a weird way.
Yeah.
I think it's extending the really, really, really desperate guys' chances like a little bit.
Well, that's why I started smoking when I was in high school, because it was an excuse to talk to people.
Oh, really?
Like, you're not... You know, well, if your options are sitting and eating lunch with a bunch of assholes you hate or...
Yeah.
Sneaking out somewhere to smoke with relatively cool, rebellious kids. I will take that.
I'm with you.
So that's how I ended up smoking for 10 years.
That's good advice for the kids.
Because you get to hang out and...
Well, you to make it clear, you do not smoke cigarettes anymore? You are
no,
done smoking?
A couple of years ago and never looked back.
Let's not tell people that you smoke. It's an awful habit.
It's definitely... If you haven't started, don't. It's also really expensive, but...
And it sounds more expensive in L.A.
Yeah, but if you want to meet women that are risk takers with an oral fixation...
There you go.
Yeah, having that to fall back on to stand around outside of the bar and make conversation...
You know what's even
not
better?
Bad.
Buying a drink. Most people don't buy drinks for other people.
Oh, I don't... I've heard buying drinks for women is a terrible idea.
Why? I'm not saying drinks. I'm saying drink.
Oh, well,
it's just a nice thing to do.
It's not. It depends on how you do it.
I mean, just walk away.
Don't act like you expect anything.
Exactly.
To happen.
Buy the drink. Say it was nice talking to you. Here's a drink. Go back to your table.
Yeah. Then you're just being cool.
Exactly.
But I mean, if you use it as an excuse to talk, then you're being a
creepy No. It's an excuse to introduce yourself.
Yeah.
I see
your point.
Yeah. And I'm not.
I'm a cheap asshole, so I've never tried it one way or the other.
Do it at the bar you fucking work at, friend.
Yeah, that makes that. Well, sometimes you can scam drinks that way.
I've given so many free drinks to women for a friend and said they've bought it, and they're fucking dumb. Anyways, you have to meet someone for dinner, so I will now ask you a book.
Oh yeah, I gotta be moseying.
A question from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD. You need to pick a number between 1 and 260.
99. Oh, it's always 99.
Really?
Yeah, that's my favorite number.
Why?
Because I like the number 9, and I like two of them even better.
I like the answer. Okay, question number 99. Are there things your parents won't do themselves, but still make you do because it's, quote, good for you? If so, do you feel this is fair?
Yeah, a lot of things.
Like?
And telling the truth. That's all I've got, really.
That's good. All right, thank you.
They're probably going to listen to this. So, but as far as, I don't think there's any such thing as fair. I think that's all in your mind. I mean, it either is or it isn't.
All right.
I think fair is just a value judgment.
All right. You just changed it all up. Anyways, that's good. Thank you for coming. Please check out Emerson's writings. He's my favorite writer. He's wonderful. If you know him or contact him in any way, try to convince him to visit more. If there's at all possible, or give me money to visit him. I don't see the man nearly enough.
You should set up a PayPal link.
I should,
on the
just
website.
So I can get the fuck out.
People make serious money.
I'm thinking about it, but I'm going to have a PayPal link to one for Megabus and then one for Southwest, and then just travel.
Yeah, you have to have some kind of a concept.
Yeah.
Like, people have to feel like they're invested.
I'll record them in bars or coffee shops of that city and interview people. So there's incentive. Thank you for coming. I wish you the best of luck. We're going to close out with Daniel Knox, one of my favorite artists. You tend to like this man as well.
Yeah, I love Daniel.
Daniel is playing the first week in Chicago. First week in December in Chicago at the Old Town School of Folk Music, opening up for Kirsten Hirsch from Throwing Muses. And the following week, he'll be in London playing with Jarvis Cocker of Pulp, Patrick Wolf, and about 9 others for a Christmas show. So if you can, check him out. You've been listening to you, me, them, everybody. Thanks again.
just